Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Right here in Lubbock, veritasmedical.com. Of course, along the way, phone lines, text line available, 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. Good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
Good to see you back on the program.
Great to be here.
Good to be along for the ride today. Of course, got a special guest by phone, and Dr. Sean is with us today on the show.
Yes, we're very happy to have Dr. Sean Seracki. He's a doctor of naturopathic medicine from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I met Sean, it's been a year or two ago. He travels across the state to do thermography examinations on folks, and so he comes to Lubbock to our clinic once a month and to do thermography. So that's the topic of today's discussion, is thermography and what is it and how is it utilized and what's it good for and all that kind of stuff. But before we get into all those details, first just want to welcome you, Dr. Sean. Is that all right that we call you Dr. Sean Seracki?
Yes, sir.
I hope I'm not butchering that, but I know a lot of your patients just call you Dr. Sean.
But hi. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Dr. Sean is what everyone calls me. The last name back in the day when I was younger, people couldn't remember how to, you know, call me. They said, yeah, I'm here to see the doctor. And I was working with a couple of different doctors, and I was the youngest doctor. And they'd always bypass me, and they would refer them to one of the other, you know, more experienced doctors at the time, and it really kind of frustrated me a little bit that no one could pronounce my last name. So I just said, all right, I'm going by Dr. Sean. That's ridiculous. So anyways, long story short, that it kind of helps my patients out as well. They don't have to, you know, try to remember or butcher my last name. My whole entire life growing up as a kid, my last name was butchered. I don't think I ever had a teacher say my last name right, but it is Seracki. Dr. Bannon, you did nail it. Thank you so much for that.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Everyone calls me Dr. Ben, but that started when I was first out of training, out of residency, went to Garza County, and I walked in the first day, and everyone kind of looked at me, and they couldn't believe I was a doctor. They thought I looked way too young. And so they just kind of called me Dr. Ben from that, and it stuck. But now that I'm old, I've got six kids, and I'm getting bald, Dr. Edwards is looking more appropriate. So I've got some patients shifting over. But let's doctor of naturopathy, let's talk about that a little bit, because first of all, I want the listeners to know the state of Texas does not recognize. They don't license doctors of naturopathy. They don't recognize that license. So that's one thing. Certain states do. I don't have the exact count. I think it's something like eight states or so out west. And a little story real quick before we get into what is a naturopathic doctor. Had a local gal, a young lady, graduate of a local high school around here, Val Victorian, actually a very, very bright young lady, a few years ago came to shadow at our clinic. And she had actually been accepted into medical school here locally, just a super smart gal. And she was kind of taking a year off to get married and get some things in order before her medical school started. And she came to shadow at our clinic, and we did things a whole lot different than the other doctor's offices she had shadowed at. And it really interested her, both the prevention and even the diet and lifestyle, root cause resolution type of medicine that we practice. And it so intrigued her that she ended up declining the regular medical school acceptance letter here from Tech and applied to Bastyr University, which is probably the number one naturopathic medical school. And she went there, graduated top of her class there, and is a very successful naturopath now out in California. I believe San Diego is where she's setting up her practice right now. So anyways, naturopaths tend to be very intelligent, but bent more towards, hey, the body's designed to fix itself. There's this innate intelligence God put into the body, and if we just support it and help it along the way and give it what it needs, avoid what it doesn't, the body will fix itself, just like a bone will mend all by itself. As long as you get it kind of lined up pretty close, it'll mend. I always tell the story of my 3-year-old fell off a horse. I mean, now Ellie is 11. But when she was three, fell off this horse, broke her arm, and I was the only doctor in the county. I had to set it myself, and I got it pretty close, but it wasn't perfectly close. And I sent the x-ray to the orthopedic, and he said, oh, it's good enough. The body's amazing. It'll line itself up and fix it. So even with broken bones, if you get them kind of close, they tend to line up and heal themselves. A paper cut will heal itself, but the body will heal itself. It always wants to heal itself. So naturopathic doctors tend to really believe this and understand that and just support the body in that way. So that's just a little intro to what a naturopath is. But you tell us more, Dr. Sean, just about your journey in general, how you got to where you are today. Maybe explain a little bit more about your training and what exactly naturopathic doctor is, and then we'll get more into specifically of what you've kind of specialized in.
I was going through college. I wanted to be a football coach and a school teacher my whole entire life. I never considered myself being in the path I am in today. I went to school. I started at Texas Tech, believe it or not. And I ended up finishing up at UTA in Arlington, University of Texas in Arlington, and got my degree in exercise science. And I started teaching in Irving, Texas. I was a 8th grade science teacher for 3 years, football coach at MacArthur High School. I'm loving my life. Never really knew anything about holistic health care, to be honest with you. My mom was in the military growing up as a kid, so I was exposed to military doctors, military dentists. Never really and truly thought anything was wrong with that. That was, a grade A medical service, being a military kid. So I started working on my master's degree, and the main reason I started working on my master's degree was to get the teacher salary increase of $1,000 a year. So I was really gung-ho to get my master's degree so I can get a little bump in salary. And during that journey, I was doing my master's degree at Texas A&M at Commerce. I was doing it during my off-coaching days. I could take classes and during when football season was over, that was during the spring semester, I was able to take classes. So I was introduced to a science class that was a holistic modality of health. And this was my first introduction to it. I had to do an internship, a 40-hour internship at a health clinic that offered holistic services. And during that time, it was a chiropractor's office. It was an acupuncturist's office. And I actually chose to go to a chiropractor that had a naturopath in his clinic. And so my 40-hour internship was sitting down and just listening to the naturopath go over his day of consultations. And I was really in awe of what he was doing, what he was offering, what he was recommending. Here I am, I got a master's degree. And not one time was I ever trained that nutrition can be medicine. I remember taking chemistry class on what a protein was, what a carbohydrate was, what a fat was. That was my nutritional education.
Yeah.
But here I am, I'm a football coach, and my degree's in exercise science, and my master's was in health and science, and it was a lot of nutritional classes, but I had no information on medicine as your food. And so that really opened up my eyes because it made sense to me. But at the same time, I still didn't know how to apply it, towards the daily life. And so after the 40-hour internship, and I tell you, this naturopath, this was back in 1996, 97. Back then, all he was seeing was cancer patients. So where it's kind of transformed over the years, back in the late 90s, people seeking out holistic health were people that were desperate and dying of cancer. And that was pretty much the mindset that I had. I never knew anything about it. So, and he was having success with these cancer patients. So over that 40-hour intern week, I was just in awe. I was like, holy cow, all these people are curing themselves of cancer without chemotherapy, without radiation. And that was all I knew was cancer treatment, was chemotherapy and radiation. I knew there was no alternative. And that's the mindset that I understand today that most people walk into. When you hear about cancer treatment on radio, on TV, on the internet, it's all about chemotherapy and radiation. There's hardly anything brought up about
alternative, right? And so we're so brainwashed into this bubble that the only way to treat cancer, and this is my mindset because this is what I was thinking back when I was 28 years old, I was like, why am I never told that there's more to that? And so I wanted to engage with the naturopath. After my school year was over that year, it ended in May, I didn't have to report back to coaching until July 28th, the end of the summer. And I had between the end of May and July 28th to make a decision if I wanted to go another path in my life. So I worked with him and volunteered all summer long and just learned and sat in consultations, learned how he recommended product and remedy and, you know, just learned to see if this is something that I might consider. And so with my coaching background, the way that I kind of interpret what I'm doing is I'm a health coach. I am using my coaching education and my coaching motivational skills to help coach people to, you know, finding health in their life regardless of what it is. You know, and people struggle. Dr. Ben, you understand this. When you put them on a health plan, people struggle to get to the end of the program because it's difficult. They've never been asked to do this themselves. You know, we've always given them a pill or a fast track to get rid of a cold, a flu, a headache, you know, a pain in the knee or whatever. But really and truly, you never ask them to make changes in their lifestyle. And so that's what it all comes down to be. For me, a naturopath, when I got started in this, I understood that a naturopathic doctor uses a multiple and variety of natural healing modalities to help somebody get their health back on track. I've learned a lot from where I was when I first started. And so nutrition is definitely the key to almost any protocol that we recommend for people. And I do believe 85% of health could be improved through diet alone. And so we want to help people get their diet and lifestyle back on track. And then using things as herbs, vitamin and mineral support, I use homeopathic remedies in my clinic. I don't use classical homeopathic. I use more what's called a bioenergetic homeopathic. They're a little bit different. They work really effectively, and I've been using those for 20 years now. I'm going on my 21st year in practice.
Wow.
And so I got a plethora, like I said, back in the late 90s, there was a lot of cancer patients. And then I would say that I see less cancer patients today. I'm okay with that. Cancer patients they're really difficult. There's a lot of things going on there. But I see less of those today, and I see more people with just your normal, you know, autoimmune type of diseases that they come into our clinic. They're already diagnosed with labels. They've been on a journey from one medical doctor to another medical doctor to another medical doctor for years. And then they finally, to themselves, they say, you know what, there's got to be more to this than going from one doctor to another doctor, taking one pill to another pill to another pill. And then they want to seek an alternative, and that's where my name comes into play. I'm very rarely their first phone call. I like to say that I'm their last phone call, though, in the way that I'm able to offer and support their body with my suggestions and years of experience. But, I mean, I'll tell you, I've got people that come in and see me that have been on 22 prescription drugs every single day, 21 prescription drugs. It's not uncommon for someone to come see me that's on 10 to 12 daily prescription drugs every single day. So you just got to listen to that for a second. If you're on 10 to 12 prescription drugs, you've been dealing with medicine for a number of years. That ain't your first medical visit. They're throwing you on 10 drugs. You know, usually when you become a thorn in their side, when you become a headache to that doctor, they're just constantly just writing prescriptions for you because they have no other answer. They don't know what to do to help you.
Yeah.
So anyways, I hope I answered your question, Doc.
No, that was perfect. We love to hear your story, and obviously you're very passionate about it too, and I, as I am, and that's why we're having you on today. And I like to tell people it's not that these medical doctors, which I'm one, don't care about you, don't love you, don't want you to get well. It's we are trained very narrowly, and our medicine bag or our toolkit, is usually what I say, toolbox. But I think my granddad's old black doctor bags that I have now and I used to take with me to house calls when I was in post, but that toolbox is very limited. We have pharmaceuticals, surgery, and that's radiation. But we're very limited. We only have a couple of tools. And so once those tools don't work, which oftentimes if they do work, it'll be for a limited time, but eventually they don't work, and we try another pill and another pill, but that's all we have. We don't know about homeopathy. We don't know about nutrition. We aren't trained in vitamins and minerals and herbs and acupuncture and all the different things. So, I know you of is kind of the thermography doctor, basically, is what a lot of my patients know you as. You've shifted some, or you focus some, or what got you into, at least what I know you of is kind of the thermography doctor, basically, is what a lot of my patients know you as, is the guy that does this thermography. So how'd you shift into that, and then explain a little bit of what that is?
Yeah, okay, yeah, good question. Thanks, Doc. Thermography, it started for me in 2003. I started in 1998. So for 5 years, I was using another health assessment, which I still use in my clinic as well. So I have two different modalities. From 2003, I bought thermography camera. And I don't know, I think you're familiar with Dr. Lee Cowden.
Yes.
Dr. Ben. So I went to a seminar in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In my early days, I was connected with Dr. Lee Cowden. So a lot of my training was through his, you know, different clinics and stuff that he was offering. And so the thermography was definitely something that he was a fan of. He turned my ears onto it. And so the journey started. And from 2003, I would say to about 2012, thermography was more of a breast screening for me. I didn't really, and it was a slow business at that time at my clinic, so I didn't really get a lot of experience because the word wasn't a common word out there. People weren't scheduling appointments to have a thermography scan done. And I was really disappointed because I was really hoping that thermography would really transition my practice into a next level type of practice. But so all that time, I'm learning and understanding that thermography is an excellent screening for breast health. So from 2003, like I said, to 2012, maybe 2013-ish, I was more focused on just doing breast screening. There's a lot of science out there about thermography as an alternative to a mammogram. Thermography probably started somewhere in the 1970s, and it really kind of furthered in the 80s. And then when computer technology really took off with Windows XP, and that was in the late 1990s, early 2000s, did thermography really and truly start making a better difference because of the XP screen, you know, the monitors. Back in the 80s, it was more of a muddy picture. I want to tell the story a little bit to my listeners, or so our listeners out there can hear this. When I first started doing thermography, I was really excited about it, and I was making up a lot of packets for OB-GYN doctors in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I was going to every doctor that I could, you know, from Dallas to Fort Worth. I mean, I was making multiple packets to get the word out. And these doctors had no clue what thermography was. They wanted to compare it to a mammogram. And the way that I was trained, thermography and a mammogram is like comparing an apple to an orange. It's not the same technology. You're not going to get the same information. The medical doctors, they want to see, can you see a lump? You know, this was back in 2003, 2004, 2005. Can you see a lump? Can you see a lump? Thermography is not about the lump, and that's why some of the stuff I want to share with the listeners as well. It's more about the physiology of the breast tissue and not the masses that are in the breast tissue. And the physiology is more of a heat, more of an infection, more of an inflammation marker. Then do you have a lump? So I'll get into that in a second as I explain a little bit more what thermography is. But so I went to Susan G. Komen Foundation, and I had a packet for them, and I'm giving them this information, And I was really upset to hear that in Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance, I'm going to share this with you guys as well from an insurance standpoint, is using the same reason why they don't accept thermography as a treatment protocol for breast health. And they're using a statement made from 1985. So I've already explained to you what computer technology was like in the 1980s. So thermography was not as clear of a picture back in the 80s, but in 2003, we've made rocket progress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so yet they're going to still base their reason, and this is still happening today, of why thermography is not being used as a main screening in the medical world. And I just don't understand why we're still banking something off in 1985. Okay, so thermography is more about a heat screen, and it identifies abnormal. The way that I like looking at it is it's identifying an abnormal heat pattern. There's going to be some normal heat in the body. There's going to be normal heat when I do a breast image on somebody underneath both underarms. That's a normal heat pattern. That's going to be the hottest spot in the body, so it's going to constantly be a hot area. And then underneath the breast, both breasts, there's a heat pattern. So those four areas are constant when I do thermography scans. So now what am I looking for? We're looking to see if there's any heat on the right breast or the left breast. And what you're doing is you're looking for a significant heat pattern difference. The body is symmetrical when it comes to the heat pattern. There should, what I see on the right side, I should see an equal and opposite on the opposite side, an equal heat pattern on the opposite side. Now, so here's where the problem could be. Whenever I've had a cancer patient come in, and let me clarify this too so the listeners understand, thermography is not going to make the diagnosis. Thermography is a great screening tool to identify early stage issues. Things it can identify cancer 8 to 10 years before a mammogram will detect it. So I'm going to identify an early heat pattern that could potentially lead to breast cancer at a much earlier stage. So this is where the science of thermography has been proven over the years. Once again, it's more about a breast screening. And so I'm looking for an opposite heat pattern between right breast and left breast. Normally, if somebody has been diagnosed with breast cancer and I've seen them, I've got a four-stage breast cancer patient that has come see me, and I've got an image, and I like showing my clients when they come in so they can kind of get a baseline. But her left breast is completely engulfed in heat. But the right breast is completely blue and green and all the cold, cool colors. There's no heat at all. So that there's a symmetry problem right there. And it's obviously seen in a thermography scan. Whether it's a third-stage breast cancer, you start seeing a heat pattern difference between the right side and left side. The side that has the cancer is going to have an excessive amount of heat to it. And that heat is due to blood flow. Blood flow is going to increase the skin temperature at the infected site. And so I've got images of third-stage breast cancer, second-stage breast cancer, and then I've got an image of a first-stage breast cancer that I show my clients. So you can obviously see the difference in a heat pattern between what a healthy breast image looks like to what, you know, the different stages start transitioning into. And then there's normal heat that'll come across both right and left side of the breast. And so this is where the knowing thermography can really kind of confuse people a little bit, because not all heat is disease heat. The symmetrical heat is usually due to an estrogen dominance factor. And so I can identify that as well in a thermography scan, is if somebody has increased estrogen.
Okay,
and so that kind of stands out like a sore thumb too,
right,
to a certain degree. The more estrogen dominant they are, the more inflamed their chest is.
Right.
The less estrogen dominant they are, the less inflamed, but there's definitely a sign of inflammation. Am I on track here, Dr. Ben?
No, you're perfect.
Am I getting carried away?
No, you're perfect. We're up against a break, and the estrogen dominance subject is such a big one. I definitely want to dive into that after the break. So no, you're doing just right. You're really giving us some good information. Thank you, but we got to take this quick break. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD with Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. You can check out archived programs right there from the website as well, veritasmedical.com. And, of course, text line. We'll get to some of these texts. We got some. We'll get to them here in a moment. But if you've got a question, feel free to text in 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800 right here on AM 580 Radio Lubbock.
All right. We are back here with Dr. Sean Seracki and talking thermography. And thermography is a thermal heat-seeking picture that you take, a special camera that's able to detect the heat pattern in the body. We've been touching on the breast, but it also can look anywhere in the body. It can look at the thyroid, look at the pelvic region. So you can look anywhere in the body, really. And we, before I had to cut Dr. Sean off before the break, he's getting into estrogen dominance, and this is such a common thing that we see. You know, estrogen kind of gets this bad rap because a lot of breast cancer is estrogen-driven, and estrogen is a fat storage hormone, so it tells ladies to store extra fat, and kind of people get this negative opinion of estrogen, but it's actually really good. It keeps you youthful and keeps your tissues youthful, your brain youthful, your blood vessels youthful, everything kind of youthful. However, it's got to be in balance. Estrogen has to be balanced with progesterone. And progesterone tends to decrease when people are under stress. It is one thing that will decrease it, because when you are under stress, you're asking your body to produce stress hormones. So the body ends up robbing from progesterone to feed the stress hormone pathway, and your progesterone just plummets. So now you have this estrogen dominant picture, not necessarily because you have too much estrogen, but it's you don't have enough progesterone to balance it. So they need to be in balance. And then secondly, there tend to be a lot of chemicals in our environment that act like estrogens. They're called xenoestrogens, X-E-N-O, estrogens. And so these can be the plastics that are in our lives. It can act like estrogens and disrupt the life cycle of a pest. Hormonally, but they also end up disrupting our physiology. So we end up getting exposed to a lot of estrogens in our environment, in our food, in our personal care products. So we just get too much estrogen in our life. And young girls in particular, estrogens disrupt the life cycle of a pest. Hormonally, but they also end up disrupting our physiology. So we end up getting exposed to a lot of estrogens in our environment, in our food, in our personal care products. So we just get too much estrogen in our life. And young girls in particular are seeing estrogen at younger and younger ages. So this imbalance of estrogen is the problem. And like I said, a lot of breast cancers are even driven by estrogen will promote and cause extra growth of these breast cancer cells in many of the breast cancer patients. So estrogen is a big topic and something we need to understand. So Dr. Sean, I'm sorry to cut you off before the break, but kind of go that direction. You were saying you can see more of a heat pattern if there's excess estrogen or estrogen that's not in balance with progesterone, right?
Correct. Yeah, you know, Just kind of speaking off the what you were just speaking about with the xenoestrogens, this is where I believe the problem is when it comes to thermography and the breast screening. I constantly find women, I will say 9 out of 10 women have estrogen dominance. It's a pretty common thing I'm writing in thermography reports. But yet I still have many women who will tell me they had their blood labs done and their estrogen levels, progesterone levels show up normal. So there's definitely a little bit of a contradiction sometimes with this. And so the way that I look at it is that what, and I recently posted an article from a medical journal that talks about there's 50 times greater, more estrogen in your tissues of your body than there is in your blood. So this is exactly what we're going at here. The thermography is identifying the inflammation that is caused by the estrogen that's in the tissue of your body than in your blood. And that, I mean, so that's got to be exactly what we're dealing with here. Thermography is identifying estrogen at a tissue level. And most women, like I said, are walking around estrogen dominant. There's three things that lead to breast cancer. And thermography can identify all three of these. One of them is estrogen dominant. One of them is inflammation. And the other one is lymphatic congestion. So three of those things are identified in a thermal scan. And 9 out of 10 women walking around with estrogen dominance is already checking the box. We got one of them, and the estrogen leads to inflammation, so we check the other box. So we've already got two of those boxes checked, and then the third one would be lymph congestion, and I will tell you, majority of women are walking around with lymph congestion as well. You ever know anyone diagnosed with breast cancer? First they diagnose with breast cancer, then they check to see if lymph nodes are involved by removing 5 to 10 lymph nodes, and then they check to see if estrogen's in the tissue. So they're already doing it backwards. Thermography can see that every time I do a thermography scan on somebody. My opinion for doing thermography as long as I have, breast cancer doesn't start in the breast. It starts in the lymphatic area, and it works its way into the breast. And the reason why I say that is everyone that gets diagnosed with breast cancer usually has lymph nodes involved. They usually do. And then there's always estrogen involved, it seems like, nowadays. So, anyway, that's another check for a thermography and why women should do these prior to having a mammogram done. I like to believe thermography can identify the early stage issues well in advance. That if you were to do thermography on a regular basis, it's more of a health screening. It's not only looking for cancer, and I think the mammogram sets women up only to see if you have cancer. There's no health at all involved in the mammogram, and the reason why I say that is because they make no suggestions for you to improve your health if you get a clean bill of health with them. If it's a clean bill of health, it's like, okay, come back next year. Now, the way that I look at it, when you come in and get a thermography scan done, there's always something you can do to improve your health. Nobody ever walks away with a 100% clean bill of health. That's prevention. That's a preventative health screening, helping you improve your health to prevent you from getting breast disease, breast cancer, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And what Dr. Sean's saying here, basically mammograms are anatomical tests, or thermography is a physiological test. What that means is a mammogram is going to tell you if something, if there's a tumor, a change in your anatomy, a change in the structure, the actual, you know, if there's a mass there. And if it's big enough, then a mammogram will most likely pick up on it. So it's just telling you that you already have cancer. And usually you're, depending on what study you look at, you're 8 to 10 years down the road already of that cancer. You're way late in the game. I talk about all the time how Western medicine, medical doctors anyways, we're trained to watch for these bombs that have gone off, and then we run in there and try to clean up the mess, as opposed to looking for the lit fuse. And these fuses of disease, not just cancer, but every disease, these fuses are lit 5, 10, 15, sometimes 20 years early, way before you go to your doctor and tell him you can't remember anyone's name and he diagnosed you with Alzheimer's, way before your heart attack, I mean years before the heart attack and stroke, way before every disease, diabetes especially. There's all these lit fuses. There's tons of warning signs and lit fuses, but doctors aren't trained in them. And this is a perfect example. A mammogram is going to just tell you, yeah, you have cancer, and it's already 8 to 10 years down the road. It won't even tell you you have breast cancer when you're only 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years into it, because the tumor's just too small. There's not enough cells in that breast cancer tumor to be big enough for the mammogram to pick it up. So it's a way late in the game picture, anatomical picture. Where thermography, what it's doing is looking at the physiology. It's looking at the blood flow. It's looking at the heat pattern. It's looking at the tissue, changes in the metabolic rates of in the tissue, inflammatory markers, even the blood. Just let's stick with blood flow. I mean, when a cancer cell is pre-cancer cells change into cancer cells, and they double from one cell to two, and two to four, and then four to eight, 16, and you just keep on going over the years. They're just doubling, doubling, doubling. Well, cancer cells, one of their characteristics for them to be able to rapidly divide and grow and into this tumor is they have to have plenty of blood. So they send out these chemicals that cause new blood vessels. It causes old blood vessels to stay open, and it causes new blood vessels to grow so that more blood flow can come into that tumor. It's called neoangiogenesis. Just means new blood vessel growth. And that's a hallmark of cancer, is these tumors will cause new blood vessels to feed them because they need it for that rapid growth. Well, more blood into that area, that's more heat. Blood has heat to it. Blood that's flowing through your arteries, pulsates through the arteries, they're going to emit heat. And that's one of the things that thermography is picking up on, is increased heat pattern. So it can pick up that increased heat pattern, at the very beginning stages of this angiogenesis, where the tumor, your mammogram could be totally normal. So it's just a totally different way to look at tissue. You're not waiting around for the tumor. You're looking for early changes, and even the risk factors. Even before there's the tumor with new blood flow coming to it, the estrogen dominance, and then the lymphedema, which lymph glands we haven't really talked about too much on here, but like your lymph nodes in your neck, when you have tonsillitis, your neck glands swell up, but you have lymph nodes all over the body, including in the armpit, the groin, and lots of other places. But then there's vessels that connect those glands. Just like your blood vessels go up and down the body, well, you have a whole nother highway of vessels, but it's just not connected to your heart. It's this lymphatic vessel system that goes all through the body, and it what's flowing through that is lymph fluid. Lymph fluid has a lot of your immune system cells in it, but it's also where a lot of the debris, a lot of the old dead cells that slough off in the body, or old bugs, germs that the immune system gobbles up. Even pre-cancer cells, the immune system gobbles up. So it's kind of like the garbage system, the garbage disposal system of the body, and a lot of this debris and junk will flow through the lymph. But that lymph can get kind of stagnant. Instead of a nice flowing river of lymph fluid, you just get these stagnant areas, and you get congestion, and all this old debris just sits there. And that's that causes an increased risk for disease, including breast cancer. So thermography is going to pick up on that. But Dr. Sean, talk about what a pattern would look like. When you say 9 out of 10 women that you take pictures of will have estrogen dominant appearance, what does that look like on the actual picture compared to what a normal breast would look like?
Yeah, good question. Thank you, Doc. Okay, so if I'm going to see a normal picture, let me clarify again. There's normal heat patterns under both underarms, and there's normal heat under both breast areas. So there's four areas I'm going to see normal heat. I don't want to see any heat in the upper chest area at all. The breast and chest area should be more of the colder, bluer, green, darker colors. But those are the healthy colors that you look for. Now, somebody that has estrogen dominance, I'm seeing heat between right and left side of the breast. It's in the upper chest area. Usually, estrogen pattern is going to be a heat pattern on the right side of the breast, on body, and the left side of the body. So it's on both sides. And so that's where I was kind of explaining a little while ago, where I see someone with breast cancer, and usually one side is infected over the other side. And that's a pretty clear-cut difference of asymmetry. And that's where the disease pattern starts to kick in, is where you start seeing breast diseases when one side is turning hot and the other side is not. And then estrogen dominance, both sides are showing increased heat patterns. And it's like, okay, it's more of a normal thing, but at the same time, it's still not a healthy thing. A lot of women have that. And so we want to help them improve that by improving their progesterone levels in their body, because usually it's an increased estrogen and they're deficient of progesterone. So you want to help them bring that back to balance.
Okay. So what are some of the specific things that you recommend for your clients and that you see on repeat thermography that their estrogen dominance is improved?
Yeah, a good question, and that's something I monitor. I usually it takes about 3 months to see a complete difference. Now, believe it or not, the most effective thing that I've seen in my 20 years of doing thermography, well, I've been doing thermography 15 years, is Dragon Time Essential Oil from Young Living. The essential oil is really effective in pulling out the estrogen in the tissues of the body. So that's one thing that I've used. Then the other thing that I've had success with is just regular progesterone cream. Using a topical progesterone cream is effective as well. What I find not effective are people that are taking supplements for progesterone that they got to swallow, like a pill. A progesterone pill does not seem to work at all. And doing it for 15 years, I have yet to find somebody use like a bioidentical type of hormone treatment does not really touch the estrogen in the tissues of the body. So, anyway, what I found works the best is the Dragon Time Essential Oil. If people aren't into that and they want to just use a regular progesterone cream, that's going to be effective. And that's been around for years. You know, Dr. Lee, you know, who wrote the book, you know, about estrogen and progesterone, his formula is in almost every progesterone cream today. So I just recommend people go get the over-the-counter, you know, progesterone cream, and it's pretty effective.
Okay. And could you speak to, you were sharing with me the other day, a lot of these young ladies you actually see, and with the lymphatic congestion, or maybe there's some estrogen dominance too, in the sports bras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Women out there who's listening to this radio show, I've got a 17-year-old daughter. So this is really hits home with me. In the last couple of years, I've come across some teenage girls that have had lumps developing in their breasts, and moms are making a dash to my clinic to get it checked out and see what's going on. I had a 29, I'm going to fast forward a little bit or rewind a little bit before the two teenagers came in. I had this 29-year-old girl come to my clinic, third stage breast cancer, 29 years old. They're going to do a double mastectomy on her. Well, she started developing breast problems when she was 16 years old. And so at 16 years old, they started monitoring her medically. They were monitoring her twice a year with ultrasound. She said they did maybe 3 or 4 mammograms between the time she was 16 and 29 years old, but they didn't do a mammogram every time she went in. So third stage breast cancer, and I started thinking to myself, why at 16 years old is she developing problems? So I asked her, I said, do you wear your sports bra to bed? Oh, I wear it every day, she said. You wear your sports bra to bed every day? Oh, yeah, it's more comfortable. I can't sleep without it. I said, okay, so have you ever gone to bed without a sports bra on? No, I've been wearing my sports bra to bed ever since I was 12 years old. Bingo. All right, so she's developing breast lumps at 16. She's wearing her sports bra to bed every day from 12 years old, and now at 16 years old, she's developing breast lumps. The breast lumps continue to get worse and worse and worse over this 13-year period. That's why she kept going in and getting monitored. And so it really hit me that this girl created this problem by wearing her sports bra to bed every night. Yet, not for 13 years did one nurse or one doctor even suggest to her that that was an issue. I was really kind of surprised by that. Well, then, within the month after seeing this girl, 29-year-old, third-stage breast cancer, three teenagers come to my clinic. Two were 16, one was 14. And they all had lumps in the left breast, believe it or not. They're all in the left breast. Majority of breast cancers are in the left breast. Now, I've had a few right breast cancers, but majority of them are in the left breast, and that might be another conversation down the road, Doc. I still don't have the answer for it. But so they all have lumps in their left breast. First thing I ask them, are you wearing your sports bra to bed? And they all three said they are. So I'm like, holy cow. I said, all right, let's do this. Take the sports bras off when you go to bed. Let's give it 30 days. I gave them a rebounding exercise. I want them to rebound on their little mini trampoline. Those of you that are listening, excellent lymphatic cleanser. And I said 10 minutes a day, maybe 3 to 4 times a week, come back to me. They came back, all three of them. I didn't even charge them because I'm concerned at this point. I want to help these little girls. I didn't charge them. I said, I want to see if what we're doing is working. All three lumps gone, no problems. And mom said the lumps started clearing up within a week. So just FYI out there, and this is where the sports bra is kind of funny. I said, this hits home with me because my 17-year-old daughter, all of her friends are wearing sports bras to bed. And she's upstairs. She has a bunch of friends spending the night a few weeks ago, and she says, Dad, shouldn't people wear their sports bras to bed? And here I am, I've got to answer to these 16 and 17-year-old girls, you know, who probably think, you know, this is a kind of a weird. And I said, hey, girls, it's involved with breast cancer. That's all you need to know. Do not wear your sports bras to bed. And so hopefully that hit home with them. But anyways, that's my story, Doc. What do you think?
Good. I think we have a text maybe that came in real quick. We'll read that.
Yeah, we got a couple of texts, three texts actually here. So if I'm not a member of Veritas, can we still have the breast thermogram from Dr. Sean? And if yes, what is the cost? That's the first text.
Yes. Dr. Sean comes to Lubbock. It's once a month, isn't it, Sean?
Yes, sir.
Yep. And he's his own independent entity. He does his own scheduling, and he just uses one of our offices that we have empty. So, yeah, I believe anyone can schedule. What's the best way, Sean, on your website or call you, or how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, you know, you can call me directly. My information, just FYI, out there, if you got anyone wants to call or text me, my number is 972-374-7830. You can find out more about me. I have my own website. It's wholebodyhealingcenter.com. wholebodyhealingcenter.com. And I also have a Facebook page, Whole Body Healing Center. I do majority of my stuff on Facebook, so join my Facebook group and just follow what I do there. And when I travel and I go out of town, yes, you guys are more than welcome to schedule an appointment. With me at the Veritas Medical Clinic is the one that does the scheduling for me. So if you can kind of get a hold of her to schedule, if not, you can call me and I can get you scheduled through her as well. So just let you guys know, Dr. Ben has been more nice enough to let me come in and use his facility. Whitney works with me while I'm there, and she's in the room with me during the thermography exam. So it costs for a full body, we never really did get to more than just the breast health, but it is beneficial to have more body parts screened, more for health information. Once again, it's a health screening. We do a full body. I charge $349, and then we do the breast images, which is an upper body screening. It's $259. It's very affordable, and you get multiple body parts tested on both sides, and it is a health screening. And with the health screening, you do get a health report emailed to you with the images on it. At the time of the appointment, I do go over your images with you. So it's not like you're waiting 10 days or 2 weeks to hear back from us. I'll go over your images right then and there, show you what you're dealing with. So when you leave the screening, you pretty much know what you're going to see in your report in the next few days.
And I can tell you it's a very informative report, and really the whole body picture, too, so informative. You know, our listeners are quite aware that we talk about inflammation all the time and how inflammation is a common denominator amongst all disease. So if someone's especially starting out on their journey of trying to deal with their diet and their lifestyle and bring their stress down and eat real food and be more preventative, you know, taking a picture before and then after, it's amazing what you'll see, the difference in inflammation throughout the body. It'll come down as you implement the diet and lifestyle things. So was there another question, Wade, or was that
I got to go see Dr. Sean. Glad to know about Dragon Time Essential Oil. A good doctor close to me, Sherry says. And I guess Joni wants to know which specific wild essential oil. Is that the Dragon Time Essential Oil?
Yeah, Dragon Time is the essential oil. And I do just need to comment real quick. We just have a few more minutes left, but You know, I always get asked the question, well, mammogram, should I get my mammogram? Do I get mammogram instead of thermography, or how does all this work? And as usual, my answer is, number one, get educated and informed. Informed consent is the duty of the doctor. Any doctor performing a procedure on you or suggesting a procedure be done on you should give you informed consent. And we don't, it doesn't have to be fear-based. It doesn't have to be anything-based. It's just information. So we're all about education at Veritas. And when you really take the time, when a doctor takes the time to study and look at the various and numerous studies that have been done on mammogram, you'll walk away kind of scratching your head, because really, when you look at some of these amazing studies, there was one in 2014, British Medical Journal, which is a very well-known, well-respected medical journal, published a really good study. When I say really good, I mean it was really big, 90,000 women, and also really good means it lasted for a long time. So this one was 25 years. So 90,000 women, 25 years, roughly half the group got a mammogram every year and half the group didn't. And at the end of that 25 years, it turned out there was no decrease in mortality rates. And both groups died the same, at the same rates. I think it was 500 versus 505. And that was a big wake-up call that, wait a minute, these breast screening, the mammograms, isn't reducing death rate. Then there was a Cochrane database review in 2009, and I've talked about Cochrane before when we were talking about flu shots. Cochrane's an independent review board that looks at all the different studies from around the world. So in 2009, they did a review on breast cancer screening with mammogram and found that overdiagnosis and overtreatment happened in 30% of the cases. What that means is there are changes in the breast that the mammogram picked up on that they thought maybe it was cancer, and it turned out it wasn't. But there's biopsies involved, a lot of emotional trauma involved. Sometimes even medical therapy is recommended, and 30% of the time this is unnecessary. And the Cochrane review in 2009 found that that this overtreatment, overdiagnosis actually increased the risk of developing cancer by a very small percentage. So basically, they concluded that for every 2,000 women that got a mammogram screen throughout a 10-year period of life, just one woman had prolonged life, while 10 healthy women were treated unnecessarily. So it's really kind of a wash. And there's article after article, New England Journal of Medicine, The Lancet, you know, big studies looking at lots of women. And bottom line in all these different studies, whether it's Cochrane or Lancet or New England or British Medical Journal, they all come out about the same as it's kind of a wash. It might pick up on a few, but it definitely increases unnecessary biopsies and procedures that bring other risk involved with that. And at the end of the day, when you look 20, 25 years down the road, it doesn't change the overall death rate. So a lot of big questions there with mammogram. I'm all for screening. I tell my patients all the time, if you're going to do a cancer screening, number one, ask how effective is it? How many cancers does it actually catch? And number two is, how many times is it wrong? Either way, it says there's cancer, but there's really not. Or it says there's not cancer, but there really is. So you just want to know how effective is it really. And like colonoscopies. I mean, colonoscopies I tend to love because they're pretty much no downside. I mean, yeah, you could perforate the colon, I guess, but that's super, super rare. And every single colon cancer starts the same as a little bitty polyp in the colon. So go in there, look for that little polyp, snip it out, and you're done. You're good to go. So I tend to love colonoscopies, but like PSA for prostate and mammograms, when you look at those studies, it's not convincing at all. And like I said earlier in the show, you tend to, that's the bomb going off. I mean, by the time the tumor's already there, it's been there 8 to 10 years, let's look for inflammation and lid fuses, look for these heat changes. And that's why I love thermography. It's much more proactive. You're way earlier in the game. And you're looking, like Dr. Sean said, the three things that increase your risk for breast cancer: estrogen dominance, lymphatic stagnation, and inflammation. And that's what thermography is showing you. So it's really just a great tool for overall health assessment, motivation to work on inflammation, and then see the results. See if what you're doing is actually working. Did that jumping on the trampoline for 10 minutes three times a week actually work? Did the dragon time actually work? Did getting off grain and sugar actually work? Did decreasing my stress actually work? And thermography is a great tool the you can watch the heat patterns come down. So super, super great. As far as mammograms go, that's a conversation you need to have with your doctor. Hopefully they're informed enough with all these studies that have come out. Even the U.S. Preventive Task Force came out and said, women really need to wait till they're 50, and really every other year is probably fine, and you really kind of need to stop doing them when you're 74. So even the some of the mainstream recommendations are starting to get more and more narrow for mammograms. So this thought that I get it every single year from age 40 till I die, and it was clear, so I'm good, I can keep living and eating the way I do. I mean, that's just the wrong mindset. I think a lot of women have that mindset. So that's kind of my answer for mammograms. But Dr. Sean, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Any closing comments or thoughts? We really appreciate your input here on today's show.
Hey, no, I'm good. I think we covered everything that I was interested in talking about. Thank you for having me on the show, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, we'll have to have you again. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Dr. Edwards, of course, we'll see you back here next week on You're the Cure. Always check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for archived programs.